we are so thankful today to have Abby, and our ladies are fellowshipping in the back. I know we hear that right now, but that's fine. They're coming out to join us. We're so thankful to have Abby. When I called Pregnancy Resource, I and had an opportunity to speak with her, I felt like I'd known her all my life. I can tell that she's such a welcome and sweet young lady, and I think she shares with me she's the newest to the Pregnancy Resource. So I know that she's got a lot to share with us today. She's just right here close to us, right here at home. So we're gonna consider you one of ours, and you're home with us today, and this is wonderful. She may have a lot to share with us that we maybe have heard, but I know that she's going to have a lot of good information, and we welcome you to our pulpit to share, and then I'll come up and help close the service. Okay, sweetie?
Good morning. It's so nice to be able to just fellowship with other believers. I think a lot of times we kind of get in our own little church bubble, and I love being able to go and worship with God's church because it's everywhere. And I love how y'all sing here. A lot of churches, you know, just a couple of people are singing, and I love to hear lots of voices. So that was very welcoming and comforting to me. So my name is Abby Wheeler. I am the Director of Development at the Pregnancy Resource Center, but I'm also a client advocate, and I'm going to explain all of that in a minute and tell a little bit about how the PRC works and kind of its systems and practices and different services. But I want to, before we get started, tell you a little bit about our theme for this year. So the PRC picks a theme for each year, and it comes from a passage or a scripture. And our theme this year is abundant life, and it comes from Jesus' words found in John 10:10, and it says, the thief comes to kill and destroy, but I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. So the reason I'm telling you that now is because I want you to see our theme of abundant life through everything that I tell you today. We know at the PRC that we can't just strive for physical life. The gospel has to be the center of all that we do. We want to make sure that the women and the children that we are serving there aren't just getting physical life, but abundant life found in Christ. And so the gospel is the primary goal of what we do at the PRC. And so I want you to be able to pick up on that theme as I speak today. Afterwards, you're welcome to come talk to me and ask questions. I plan to be super prepared and have lots of pamphlets and things like that, but there was a tornado on Thursday, and that was the last day that I was in the office because we're closed on Fridays, and I rushed out of the office hoping to get home in time before I was stuck at the PRC for a full day, so I don't have any materials with me, but if I can't answer your questions, I can give you our phone number and get some questions answered for you. So I don't have what I originally planned on bringing, but it'll be okay. So today I'm just going to tell you a little bit about myself and how God brought me to the PRC. It's a story I really love to tell, and just the arrows that he used to point me to the Pregnancy Resource Center, really from conception, from the time that before I was born. And that's a story that God has given me, and I love to share it with people. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about that. I'm going to tell you about the Pregnancy Resource Center and its different practices and purposes and its goals. And then I'm going to tell you how the community comes into play and how it really takes all of us to be able to do the work and the ministry that the Pregnancy Resource Center does. So if you would just pray for me, I'd like to pray before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity that you've given me. Lord, I pray that you would just give me your words to speak. I pray that you would change our hearts to be more like you, Lord. You have called us in your word to speak up for those who cannot speak up for themselves, Lord, to ensure justice for those who cannot ensure justice for themselves. And so, God, I pray that you would give us your heart for the unborn and your heart for women in crisis. And I pray that you would allow us to just do your work. We are your willing servants, Lord, and I pray that you would just lead us and guide us in what you would have us to do. Give me just your words to speak today, Lord. I pray that all that I say would ultimately not represent the Pregnancy Resource Center, but would represent you and your heart, Lord. And it's in your name that I ask these things. Amen. Okay, so I came to the Pregnancy Resource Center as a volunteer back in 2018, and I was kind of expecting, I don't know, I guess I thought that they would have some baby clothes and maybe some formula and diapers that they would just give out to moms who needed it, and I would help sort baby clothes or something. And I got there, and I was absolutely amazed with everything they had to offer, with everything that they were doing, and just the hearts of the women who were there. And so my goal today, I would love to be able to take y'all to the PRC and say, this is our counseling room, and you guys should watch how we talk to these women and what God does in here. And here's the ultrasound room, and I want you to see this baby on this ultrasound screen and hear the heartbeat. But I can't do that. So my goal today is to be able to do that with my words and hopefully just show you the awe that I had when I first came there. So I'm going to do my best to do that. I know it won't be quite as great, but I'm going to try. So first, I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. My story starts at conception when everyone's story does. Life does begin in the womb. Some of y'all know that 22 days after conception, a baby's heart starts beating. That's before a woman even knows she's pregnant most of the time. But did you know that at the very moment of fertilization, your entire genetic makeup is completely formed, including your gender? So the beginning of the beginning of the beginning, you have a gender, and all of your genetic makeup is formed, which is pretty crazy to me. We have this idea in our culture that you have value as soon as you enter the world, as soon as you're born, but 2 seconds before that, you have no value. And that's something we hear a lot on TV right now. And I think we need to constantly remind ourselves that God has created this child in his image, and it starts long before you are born. So that's where my story begins. I was my parents' first child. I was a surprise. I was not a planned pregnancy, but they were very excited. And one of the things they were excited about was to find out the gender of their baby. And so at around 5 months, that my mom was pregnant, they made a appointment to find out whether I was a boy or a girl. And when they got there, everything looked perfect. You know, they saw their little baby moving and wiggling, but the ultrasound technician didn't seem quite as excited as they were. They later found out that I had something called spina bifida. And if you're not familiar with that, basically the outlook was that I wouldn't be able to walk. I would not be able to have normal bladder or bowel function. My life expectancy was a little over 20 years, so I would kind of be nearing the end of my life right about now. I knew this story my whole life. Every family member told me throughout my life, you know, how blessed I was that God had healed me, and that some of my earliest memories are me on my knees thanking God for how he had healed me despite the fact that the doctors had said it was impossible, but he did. And so I still have the scar on my back from the surgery that I had to have right after I was born, but that was a story I knew really well and I loved to tell. But when I was 13 years old, there was a plot twist in the story I'd never heard before. I had to write a paper for school, and the topic was, write about an event that happened in your life that would, if it hadn't happened, your entire life would be different. And that was easy. I was born with that story. You know, if God hadn't healed me, my life would have looked completely different. So I went home, and I asked my parents, you know, give me all the medical terms and everything needed to write a good paper. And as they were telling me, they got to a part that I'd never heard before. And that was when the doctor said, you should just have an abortion and try again. Her quality of life won't be any good. It's going to be harder for you as parents. Just get rid of the baby and try again. And at 13 years old, that completely shocked me. Why was that somebody else's choice? Why was that up for debate? My quality of life was fantastic. And even if I had been in a wheelchair, I still would have chosen to live, because something I'm very passionate about is our quality of life never has been and never will be determined by our circumstances. It's how we respond to them. Some of the most joyful and fulfilled people the world has ever known have gone through some of the toughest things, but how they respond to them is what defines their quality of life. And so that doctor, who was he to say that my quality of life would be bad when he could have been, by the world standards, wealthy and fulfilled, but he was depressed or, you know, just struggling? His quality of life could have been less than mine, even if I was in that wheelchair. And so learning that really softened my heart to abortion and the fact that the unborn don't have a voice, and somebody has to be their voice, and God calls it to be us. And so that's what really got me on the path that I am on now. So when I graduated high school, the first thing I did was volunteer at a pregnancy resource center. I knew I wanted to be in ministry somewhere, and I really wanted to help women in crisis, not just choose life, but allow, just give them what they needed to be able to choose life. Is it finances? What's the issue? How can we help you be able to choose life for your baby? And so that was what led me to the PRC, and that's where I'm at today. And so I'd like to tell you a little bit about what the PRC does exactly. It's not just giving out baby clothes. It's not just, you know, encouraging them to choose life for their baby. There's a lot more to it, and so I'd like to kind of walk you through that if I can. So when a woman comes into our center, it's usually for a free medical-grade pregnancy test. We have nurses on staff. We have a sonographer. We have ultrasound capabilities. We also have a mobile unit, which is one of my favorite things. It's a van that has an ultrasound unit on it so that people who can't get to our center in Albemarle, we can get to them. So we go to Montgomery County. We're serving their county now as well, and different parts of Stanley County. So that's really cool, and we're able to do that. We've recently expanded our medical staff so that we can have some people on the mobile and some people in the office so that we can be doing lots of different pregnancy tests and ultrasounds at once. So all of our services at the PRC are completely free. We don't charge for anything. So a woman knows that she can come to us and get her pregnancy test or ultrasound, all of that for free. So when a woman comes in, a lot of times that's what it's for, is that initial pregnancy test. Before a woman can get an abortion, she has to have her pregnancy medically confirmed. We can do that. So a lot of times they come to us to get that free confirmation before they can go get their abortion, but hopefully before they leave, they've changed their mind. That's the goal. So a woman comes in, she sits in our waiting room, she fills out her paperwork, and then she meets with what's called a client advocate. We're also called pregnancy decision coaches. That's what I came on staff as. I was trained for almost a year to be able to do that as a volunteer. and then I moved up to my director's position, which I'll tell you a little bit about in a minute, but she comes and she talks to this woman. So when I'm sitting with this woman, what I'm asking her is, you know, if you are pregnant, what are your thoughts? What about your boyfriend or your husband? Have you told your parents yet? The youngest client that I have seen since I came there was 13 years old, a 13-year-old girl. But we see women who are in their 40s. And that's an unplanned pregnancy as well. I mean, think about your 40s, and it can be just as much a crisis at 40 as it can be at 13. So ultimately, we are there for women in crisis, and it's not always a woman who wants to choose abortion. We don't see a ton of abortion-minded clients. We have been seeing more than we used to. But we are there for every woman, every father, every family that enters our doors, regardless of the choice they are planning to make, where they're planning to go with this pregnancy. We are there for all of them, and we have something for all of them. So I sit with her. I talk to her. I kind of get an idea of the story of what's going on, the support in her life, and just her different thoughts and fears. Then she'll go back, and she will get her pregnancy test. She'll talk to our nurses, and if abortion is something that she is considering, we begin educating her on abortion. There are different procedures that are done for abortion depending on your dating in your pregnancy, and the best way to determine the dating is by ultrasound, which is kind of our, you know, secret weapon. Once that mom sees that baby wiggling and moving in that heartbeat, it's really hard to go through with that abortion. And so we'll sit with her and she'll see that, and a lot of times she'll say, we had this, I think last month, a woman came in and she said, I can't abort that. That baby is moving. That baby has a heartbeat. You can see its nose and its mouth, and it's amazing. And a picture is worth a thousand words, and it sheds light on a lot of darkness. It shows truth that you can't deny. When my parents went to have that ultrasound done, and he told them to consider abortion, thankfully my parents would never consider abortion. They knew all of this. They knew that the quality of life isn't determined by our circumstances, and so they immediately said no. But he continued to press them and press them and tried to keep their ultrasound photos from them. He said, I don't want you to get attached. Well, if I'm just a clump of cells, what is there to get attached to? So those pictures shed light on truth. That baby is alive. That is your child. And certain states make you have an ultrasound done before you have an abortion. But that's not true in all states. So by coming to our center, they are able to see that because we'll tell them, you know, you don't know what type of abortion you need until you see that ultrasound. So then they see that. And then we begin telling them about the different procedures and the risks involved because it is not pulling a tooth. It is a major surgery in certain, you know, trimesters. It's a big deal, and it does a lot emotionally and mentally and spiritually as well. And we're going to talk more about that in a minute. But so they see that ultrasound, we educate them, but we ultimately tell them, even if you do choose an abortion, you can always come back. You can always come talk to somebody. You will always have somebody here to pray for you. And that is our goal. We want to develop a relationship with them. We never want to feel like the woman here is just a client. They're never just a client. They're a woman that we are trying to minister to and pray with and really walk with. So those are that's the initial appointment that a woman gets. And at the end of that appointment, after she's had her pregnancy test, we'll reevaluate. So I'll bring her back in the counseling room and I'll say, okay, so you are pregnant. What are you thinking now? You know, now that you've seen the ultrasound, how did that make you feel? Did you see that heartbeat? Does that change anything for you? But also we're giving them a ton of resources. So you said your housing situation is really bad. Well, let me tell you about this ministry that can get you some free housing now that you have this baby. What about, you know, some free things that we can get you, this ministry, that ministry. Let's talk about adoption. If that's something that you're more interested in as an alternative to abortion, we have all sorts of different things that we can say, what are the fears and how can we eliminate them? What is driving you to get this abortion and how can we eliminate them? Because abortion isn't just death for the fetus or the baby. It's death for a part of them too. It never eliminates the problem. Eliminating the baby does not eliminate the problem. And we truly believe that. So the Pregnancy Resource Center never, ever performs. We don't perform abortions, and we never recommend or refer them. People call all the time asking if we do, I guess because we're called the Pregnancy Resource Center. Churches sometimes are skeptical because we're called that and we educate on it. But I want to clarify, we never recommend it. We know it's never the best choice. It's never a good option. And so our goal is simply to educate women on the struggles and the concerns after an abortion, and if they do go through with it, and if they have had one, how we can continue to help them and help them find healing. So one of the big things that I really fell in love with when I first came to the PRC is our LEAP program. And so this is how we continue pouring in to the women that come into our center, and also the men as well. So the LEAP program, it stands for Learn, Earn, and Parent, and it's an incentive program where basically this really drives the abundant life theme home, because it's not just meeting with the woman one time. She comes to our center each week, and we're able to sit with her and talk with her, and she just, you know, shares about her week. She tells us about her struggles, her concerns, and we just have one-on-one time with the client. She sees the same client advocate every time she comes, so it's not just a client coming in, talking to somebody. It's a friend. We're trying to develop a relationship with them, and we pray for them each time they come in and that sort of thing. And so what they do is they complete this homework, and homework covers a wide range of topics. It's spirituality, health. We talk about marriage and life issues, just all of these different topics. And each time they do homework, they get LEAP dollars, and they're able to spend LEAP dollars in our baby boutique, which covers every need that they have for their baby. They can get high chairs. We get brand new car seats, cribs, diapers, wipes, formulas, always free. Baby always gets to eat, all that kind of stuff. So if money is an issue, I can't have this baby because I can't afford him or her, we can take care of that. We will pay for your doctor's appointments if we need to. We will make a way for you to provide for this baby. We're going to walk with you. We're not just going to leave you. It's not a one-stop location. This is something that wants to walk with you the whole way. And so I really fell in love with that part of the program. I took on one LEAP client she was one of those people that you can't believe she's only in her 20s and she's seen so much and been through so much. And so when I took on my director position, I asked to keep this specific client because I wanted to see it through. She had built this wall and was kind of determined to, like, break the wall. You know, like, I wanted to be the person she could come and she could talk to and she could find a friend in. And so I started meeting with her, and at first it was just really cold. She wouldn't talk to me. But eventually, she did start to open up. And LEAP appointments usually last about 30 minutes. But everybody on staff knows that when she comes in, it could be an hour or more that she and I are just sitting in there talking. So they'll put us back in the kitchen so they can use the other room when they need it, because we'll be there a while. But she has just started to open up to me, and she doesn't really need the financial support that LEAP provides. She is doing pretty well for herself. She has another daughter, so she kind of feels like she's got this parenting thing down, though I think every parent would agree you never have this parenting thing down. But she thinks she does. But the reason she keeps coming back every single week is because she has no one else to talk to. She does not have a friend that she feels like she can just talk about anything with. And so she comes back just to have a relationship with somebody. And that is what the PRC is for. It's not just appointments. It is relationships. And that is one of the things I just fell in love with. It's about the people. It's in, you know, helping solve these problems. And so our Insight Medical Services are our pregnancy tests and ultrasounds. Our LEAP program is kind of the financial support, that abundant life mentality that says we're not just here to help you, you know, provide for this baby's physical needs, but your spiritual needs, so that you can raise this child in a godly home and that they'll hear the gospel because you heard the gospel from us, and it has this, you know, effect, this domino effect that, you know, homes are built on Christ. And we go through parenting classes each month. We have them twice a month, and that's a group setting where all the moms get together and we do all different topics and have guest speakers and that kind of stuff. So that really pours into that abundant life mentality. The last thing that we do, and this is a really important one, and it's coming up really soon, so I would ask, we're asking a lot of churches to just begin praying for this, and that is our Healing Journeys program, and it's an abortion recovery program for men and for women. 1 in 3 women attending church, so 1 in 3, that's a lot of women, have had an abortion, and only 60% feel like, 60% do not feel like their church is a safe place to talk about it. That's a lot of people. And the PRC knows this, and we're set up to be able to reach to these women, but we're asking churches to help us by getting the word out and telling the women in their congregation that there is healing found in God's word. If you are a believer, there is no condemnation in Christ. There is no reason that you should still be carrying this burden. You can lay that just like every other burden at the foot of the cross, and there is healing in God's word. And we want to help you get on that path to find that freedom and to find that forgiveness that is offered in Christ, because it is there. It is not the unforgivable sin. It is something that can be forgiven and set free. And so that is something that we do once a year, and it's coming up February 19th. We do it for women. It is a study led by women and for women, and we do it for men, and a man leads that as well. I also want to just stress that everything that happens at the PRC is completely confidential. If you walk into the Pregnancy Resource Center, no one knows except for those of us that are there. It's not something we're going to tell people. People are afraid in a small town that word will get around. That's not something you have to be afraid of at the PRC. It is completely confidential. But I also want to stress the fact that the devil loves us to be afraid. He loves for us to not take that step for that freedom. And so if you are feeling this, well, maybe I don't really need that. What can they tell me that I don't already know? I can find God's healing, you know, in the word by myself. I would say and encourage you to just take a step of faith and to just give it a chance. Give it a chance to just be able to lay that down once and for all. And we really stress it for men as well, because for every woman that has had an abortion, a father has lost a child as well. Some of the symptoms that come with an abortion, people don't even realize that it's related to that abortion, but they go through counseling and things like that and realize that their anxiety, their anger that can turn to rage and abusive behavior, their struggle to bond with their other children, a lot of times it leads back to an abortion that they didn't realize that was what was causing all these problems that they've had since then. And so it's a big deal. It's huge. And it's something that I think we're belittling, and it's a lie that Planned Parenthood is trying to keep from us, that it's like pulling a tooth. You won't think about it again. It gets rid of the problem. It eliminates it. It's no longer a thing. You don't have to think about it anymore. It's done. It's not true. I heard someone say that God is the giver and taker of life. And when we take on God's responsibility, we take on God-sized consequences. And so there is a struggle internally. There is a struggle emotionally and spiritually. But our God is bigger, and he forgives, and he does set free. And so that is a really, something we're really passionate about at the PRC. One of our staff members has had an abortion, and she came on staff after she went through this class. And so now she teaches it, and she's amazing. And so I would really encourage y'all to, if you know someone and you don't want to talk to me today, you can call the PRC. Again, I'm not going to tell anybody. Nobody's going to know. It's between you and God, and we just want to be that the avenue to help you get on that right path. So those are the major things that we do at the PRC. But they say it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a community to save one. So I would say that it isn't just the PRC's job, it's everyone's job. Now, we can't all join staff at the PRC. That won't work. But there are things that we can all do to help. And the first one is pray. If you can do nothing else, pray. Because the person who has the most effect in this fight for life is our Heavenly Father. And prayer is a big thing. It is a big weapon that we can use. If you can do nothing else, be diligent to pray for the unborn and to be their voice and their advocate to the Father, and just pray for them and pray for those who are on the front lines. Pray for our country. Just pray. That is the biggest thing you can do. There are people who go to the abortion clinics here in Charlotte just to sit out there and pray. That's the biggest thing you can do. The next thing you can do is serve, whether it's going to those abortion clinics, and there are different organizations you can join, but you can go by yourself and you can just talk to the women as they enter and say, hey, before you go in, can I just pray with you? Before you make this choice, can I just pray with you? And just pray for them and talk to them and tell them, is there anything you need? Can I help you with? Is there something that is driving you to get this abortion that I can meet? Is there a need that I can help you with? My church can help you with. The Pregnancy Resource Center nearby can help you with. You know, just to talk to these women on a Saturday morning is a huge thing that people do. You can also serve at the PRC. We have volunteer opportunities open for everybody. Sometimes it's cleaning the baby boutique. Sometimes it's mowing the lawn or giving our mobile unit a good wash. There's just all sorts of things that we have to do to keep the ministry going. And so we are super thankful for our volunteers. And there's just a lot that you can do there. The last thing you can do is give. We are completely and totally privately funded. If we were to receive money from, say, the government, we would have to compromise on that abundant life mentality. We would not be able to share the gospel the way that we can now. So when I meet with a woman, I'm able to sit and pray with her. I would be less likely able to do that if we were receiving money from different places. So we rely on individuals and churches to be able to fund what we do and to be able to have that full abundant life mentality. So those are the major things that we offer. And so I just want to thank all of you for listening, for being here to listen to me speak. I have just been praying that something I said might encourage you. And if nothing else, just give you awareness to pray. That is really the biggest thing we can do. And so I just appreciate all of y'all being here and for having me. So thank you very much.
So much Abby's willingness to come today and speak, and what a testimony from the beginning to the end on exactly all the offers that is out there. I think it's such a wonderful part of our county that we're able to have this, and whether or not we can actually be there to serve, we can pray. And as part of our church, I think just giving our offerings and our love to the need, extra baby things that any of us have. If we're shopping, if we see these little bargain deals, let's pick them up, ladies. Let's take it by. Let's fill that boutique with items that they might need. It's a wonderful, wonderful program. And we're so thankful for your service there, your story, and the passion that you have. It's going to be incredible what you're going to have to offer them.
Where is the location of this place?
Okay, you want to...
It's on West Main Street in Albemarle.
Yes.
So it's kind of near where the farmer's market is and the railroad tracks.
Yes. Right, right. Sort of down below the old Hartzell Funeral Home. I've been by there a couple of times since y'all have been in that location. Yeah, nice, nice place. Nice older house, but it's very equipped and nice. It's been restored and very beautiful place. So we're very fortunate to have that right here close by home. We're very thankful.